How can they learn more about that?
Yeah, you can find 4D Recovery online.
Great. Well, thanks so much. Thanks for joining us today on Prison Pipeline. We've been talking with Mark Wilson and Gala Van. Thanks so much for joining us, and I will hopefully you can join us again soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hi, this is Ray Lynn, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's executive committee will be held Thursday, August 14th at 5:30 p.m. Meetings are held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on the website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Our KBOO Out Loud Fall Membership Drive is coming. Tune in August 20th, where we'll bring you testimonials, anecdotes, facts, and more, all day long to celebrate National Radio Day. KBOO, made by people like you, for people like you.
Support for KBOO comes from our members and from Nutrition Inside, presenting the Nutrition Inside Benefit Show, Saturday, August 16th from 4:30 to 8 p.m. at Ethos Music Center. The event will feature local music and refreshments and supports food justice for incarcerated individuals. More info at nutritioninside.org.
1, 2, 3, 4. Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Never been done before.
We're talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you, people.
We can fight endlessly on the supposition that there are good guys and bad guys. And when we fight on that supposition, there is no possibility of compromise or of gentleman's agreement, as there is honor among thieves. We're all thieves. Let's face it.
A grifter leaning on the back alley wall. The sound of knuckles on the bystander's jaw. Abandoned take a man for all he got. Politics is stronger than the law. You know that blood is thicker than the water. So they say until the dollar change hand, and then it's paper thin. He say he got it out the mud, and that's even more opaque. Started building with his kin till they came for they take. Karma's chin. So is that chick who slept with your man and lied to your kids, and they walking hand in hand when you pull up on them, and he telling you be civil while he swooped her in your Civic. Please lick these nuts. It's a wonder more of us just don't erupt. Not me, try Jesus. Before these hands return your soul back to the dust. Take it easier on me.
My granny, has it always been this many? She said, baby, keep on living. I'm not sure if I can swing it. I'm pretty certain it's the end of our days. I've been saying that for years, but now I'm real afraid. Word become flesh, and should this word manifest, there ain't no world left for my kids, no earth for them left. So I'm dispelling old spells, learning to spell capital F A I T H, though the way is vague. Pessimists on the tube, yo, the news ain't great. But if there ever been a day to close my eyes and pray, the evidence of the unseen is behind these gates. Patience is the virtue that laid the claim, painstake, ameliorate. Pay no attention to who's behind them drapes. Time is really the illusion, and it's all man made. Time is really the illusion, so don't push your grace. Said my God, prepare the table, they gon' say she ain't Lord. Take it easier on me.
KVD Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. The voice you heard is that of a Paul Robeson-like individual. She's a filmmaker, an athlete, an educator, a wife, a mom, a poet, actress, writer. I don't know what else you'd do. But Ryan Nicole is no joke when she walks in the room, and we could talk to her about any number of subjects. Here's a person that holds records. And were you in high school and college when you set these records in your track and field events?
I hold California and Oakland records in high school.
Wow. So you don't want to run up on her and snatch her purse, because she can't chase you down. She didn't win it in a 100-yard dash with these long distance races. So you have that. You've done two films, right?
I have.
What were the two films?
I did Broken Rose with the Oakland Film Company. I'm blanking on. I mean, I've done a few things on camera. I did some work with David Diggs.
Well, we've seen you in the NBA commercials.
Yeah. I'm blanking
out.
So you
did a couple of commercials. But you actually did a film.
Well, yes, I did the Haven Project.
Thank you.
That was a film for housing justice. At the time, so this was during the pandemic, the UN had just visited Oakland and declared us a United Nations, you know, public emergency. And it had to do with the fact that we had at the time 7,000 people sleeping on the street. And I'm sure that number has grown since. But I did a film that, you know, drew attention to that from the hip hop community, basically from the hip hop and the music community locally, music and conversations with local activists, musicians, about our housing crisis and, you know, how they were experiencing it also as artists.
When did the United Nations come and do this?
This was they came in 2019. And
right.
Was it
just before the pandemic or right after?
It was just before the pandemic. Yeah, and we did the film in the pandemic.
Let me ask you before I go on to the rest of your accolades, have things gotten better or worse? You would figure with the UN coming in and saying what needs to be said,
that
would have lit a fire under the collective butts of all those who could make decisions to resolve this.
One would think, however, I would say things have gotten worse. You know, since then we've had multiple sporting events in the Bay Area, and you know, the complicating thing with Oakland and Alameda County in particular, but Oakland has all the county services in it, and so you know, people seeking housing, seeking public assistance, tend to come here as people from the Bay Area, the larger Bay Area. You know, other Bay Area politicians shuttle their unhoused population over here. And so we become the meeting point for a lot of social services issues. It's a privilege to be able to serve people in our city. It is also a strain on our system. And so, you know, when you think about Alameda County, we represent, we tend to house or, you know, represent 80%, upwards of 80% of the unhoused and needy population here in Oakland. And those folks tend to come from all over the Bay Area. So that's the particular challenge that we face. And so unfortunately, things continue to get worse because not only does Oakland not address their issues, or, you know, Oakland having challenges addressing their issues, you know, the rest of the Bay Area and the nation in some ways tend to shuttle their folks on over to us.
Now, there are many that try to say that, no, Ryan, that's not true. That, you know, we're not shuffling people over to Oakland. The people that we see are folks who just couldn't afford housing here, which, you know, there's a lot of folks like that who literally I've seen, you know, were one day living in a building. The building went up to $4,000 a month.
That's right.
Still has vacancies because nobody can afford it.
That's
right. But, you know, now I see the guy who lived there in his car.
Right.
You know, that type of thing is happening. So, you know, to those that say, nah, Ryan, they're not, you know, this is just an Oakland thing. What do you say to them?
Well, we actually, in the film, we talked with some homeless and unhoused advocates who talked about seeing San Leandro and San Lorenzo police, you know, bringing people into their, you know, police cars right across the line, telling folks, listen, here's your reality. Either you go over there as a free person or you come back across this line and you will be imprisoned. And so, you know, we've had folks witness that happen in droves over many years. That's a trend. I've talked to unhoused people that have said as much, that, you know, they are threatened with being arrested for, you know, sit and lie rules or what have you, in other cities. And here in Oakland, they're not experiencing that. And so, you know, they find it to be relatively, and trust me, it's not luxurious in Oakland, but relatively safer for them in Oakland.
From the film, what did you find to be the root cause? And I ask this knowing that many people have concluded from just eyeballing a situation and saying, one, people are on drugs and can't get their lives together. Two, they're just lazy and we tried to get them into shelters and they just really don't want to. And three, they find that it's easier to live off of social services than it is to go out there and get a job. That seems to be the narrative that is pushed upon people. What did you find?
That's a cocktail of issues, but what I really find is that officials aren't listening to the people, and that tends to be the case across the board, right? Like, the people who are most impacted are actually the experts on the issues that they need solving. But the folks in leadership tend to have a reticence. And this is, I'm not talking about current leadership in as much as I'm talking about, you know, a legacy of leaders have a reticence to listening to the people in need, who have, you know, the expertise around what is needed. They're in conversations with folks on a daily basis because they are those people. You know, I'm speaking specifically of like folks like Nita B, for example, who is a representative, you know, of unhoused populations by and large, and it's been, you know, in and out of unhoused situations over a decade. And a strong advocate, she understands what is needed more readily than any homelessness czar, as they were so-called during the pandemic, or any, you know, political official. And political officials tend to have a hesitation to listening to folks that are on the street. Also, you know, we've got an issue around developers. Like you mentioned, you know, there are tons of units In these high-rise luxury condos that were built, you know, in tandem and in line with Jerry Brown's 10K plan, you know, to bring 10,000, 100,000 plus earners. He wrote this when I was still in high school, into downtown Oakland and to build in line with those folks. Well, those people never really came and stayed, but the housing is here for those folks. And so you've got units upon units downtown that are empty. You know, you've also got hotels that were shut down, SROs that were shut down to be converted into hotels that have never finished their conversion. But you've got unhoused people sitting outside of those same places where they used to have transitional housing so that they could get on their feet. So, you know, we've got a cocktail of problems in Oakland, but it really seems to be about the political and capital will, and less about the individual. You know, you need not blame the individual. Oftentimes, you know, the issue is look at the system, examine the system and the failings in the system, and therein you find the issue.
Right. I think it's a situation where it's politically advantageous to place blame somebody who can't fight back.
Right.
And you tell me if you found this to be the case, but it seems to me that the problem that many officials or elected leaders have had is that they're looking at two masters, developers and now a billionaire class that wants to put their finger on the scale and tip it in a particular direction.
Right.
And then the realities of a population that are here. And when I see a lot of the people who are houses, I'm often surprised to see that the overwhelming majority are Black. And I'm surprised to see that many of them are older, you know, like 60 plus, and you're sitting there going, well, get a job. Well, you know, they probably worked all their lives,
They absolutely did.
So a decision is made that I'll go with the Elon Musk crowd versus the Need to Be crowd.
That's right. That's right. You know, the other challenge is we've got, you know, I think the number one, if not number two, contributor to the Oakland budget is property taxes. You know, Oakland is a property ownership city. There's a lot of folks that own homes in this city. And so the politicians have to yield to the homeowner, and the homeowner is being fed this narrative. You know, I just want to add this group to the prong, or add this prong to the conversation around the groups that you talk about. You know, so the politicians have to answer to property owners who have been misled by that billionaire class who are paying, you know, press to fluff up stories that aren't necessarily true about our populations. And so there's a lot of infighting amongst the inhabitants of the city who are both being told, you know, false narratives about who the enemy is. Meanwhile, you know, as you said, you've got a billionaire class, or you've got, you know, banks buying up blocks of land. Thank goodness for the Moms for Housing, you know, movement that happened, you know, to draw attention to that. But you still have people who believe that the Moms for Housing situation was a problem, and is pitted against the mom and pop homeowner and landlord, when in reality they were pitted against, you know, the banks and the corporate buyers of blocks and blocks of land wherein those houses would sit vacant for, you know, years while people remain unhoused right there in that vicinity.
Ryan Nicole is our guest this afternoon, and we haven't even talked about her artistry, but I wanted to tap in to her political acumen based upon the film that she did. Let me ask you this. You being a lifelong Oaklander.
Yes, sir.
So you've seen a lot of things come and go. The doom loop narrative that has saddled Oakland, you know, can you put on your hat and compare what you've seen growing up to what's going on now? And I'll contextualize this a little more, that I find this doom loop narrative seems to be customized, because when you go to a place like Baltimore, they have a doom loop narrative. Right. You go to Houston, they have a doom loop narrative. Almost every city,
Philly,
that has large black and brown populations, mm-hmm. has a cadre of websites, media personalities, or influencers who curry a particular narrative that suggests that the respective city needs to have an overall change. Like, you have Make America Great Again, let's right. make Oakland great again. And right. with that comes not uplifting people like you, but actually getting rid of you. Right. So how have you seen this over the years, and your take on that? And do you do a film to battle that? Do you go back and pick up the camera and, you know, and deal with that?
It's not a bad idea. I mean, I've definitely considered what forms of media I take to address those issues. And, you know, I am addressing them in another medium that we'll talk about later. But, you know, the doom loop narrative is just that. It is a series of pundits and think tanks who have created a conversation and whipped up that conversation and then served that conversation to a population. But I want to say that the integral piece that makes that conversation take root is local pundits and local politicians and local folks with ambition to be in politics, who take up the conversation, who are, you know, some people would say bought and purchased to be the figureheads of those conversation pieces. And the intelligent thing about the opposition is they know how to identify those people who are thirsty for, you know, their opportunity to rise in the ranks politically, and vulnerable to the narratives that are shaped for them, mm-hmm. and they attach themselves to those people.
But they also get rewarded as well.
Well, totally,
right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They get award. They get rewarded for sure. Those folks, you know. Well, you want to say something? Go ahead. I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice.
No, I'm just thinking, as you were saying, because, like, one of the things that I've seen
mm-hmm.
is that when you go, we'll use the internet, for example, and you look at influencers,
right?
And there's now a bunch of documentaries that can kind of underscore the point I want to make. They're networked, you know, and if you watch some of these quote-unquote influencers enough, you'll see, like, oh, Ryan Nicole is now in the same video as David D. I didn't even know they knew each other,
right?
Because we seem to be in different lanes, but then you see us kind of cross-pollinate. So
that's right.
These are very coordinated efforts.
Right.
And so then I'll see, like, a doom loop website like Bay Area State of Mind,
right?
In Oakland State of Mind, right?
That's right.
So
that's
you
right.
have, you know, two individuals, you know, father and son, who started to get a lot of traction that's reporting right. crime, right?
That's right.
But then I go to another city and I see those videos that they have here
yep,
on the website in another city.
That's
you
right.
see what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so this coordination now that we found, because, you know, there's been people that have met that have said, you know, we have a website too, you know,
right.
that is a Stockton State of Mind. That's a friend, you know, and then you mm-hmm. realize
it's
like
a brand.
Oh, it's a brand. And then you start to dig deeper and realize that there might be a publicist, you know, or a police department spokesperson that are feeding people these
that's right
crime videos.
That's right.
Which results in a couple of things. One, depending on the population, it may demonize, say, an immigrant population.
That's right.
Right. It's
that's
these right. Mexicans and these that's El Salvadorians. Right. Or in the case here, it puts a target on the back of black folks.
That's right.
Because all they show is crime videos of black folks.
That's right.
And then you have people buy into that. And now, at last count, I've seen 15 websites just around the Bay Area
mm-hmm.
in Oakland
mm-hmm.
crime, which mm-hmm. which says to me, when you get that many, that there's money to be made. And I think the more recent thing I've seen are people that are out of country that are now doing like these mini documentaries on Oakland.
We go
to the west side of Oakland. It's boom, boom, boom. And it's like, who are you? And how did you get access? And
well, those are all bots. They're bots, man.
Bought and bots.
Yeah, bought and bought. That's real.
Bought bots.
But I think what also complicates it and makes it so insidious is that the, you know, I'm going to just speak to folks like Lauren Taylor and Seneca Scott and, you know, just be explicit about it. They take up the narrative that is, you know, propagated in those social media posts or pages or what have you. And these are folks, and, you know, maybe not so much today, but these are people that at one point the community entrusted, you know, because they were present, they were walking hand in hand, they were at the Black cultural zones, they seemed like upstanding, righteous brothers. So it's the same type of confusion that you mentioned when you say, oh, wait, these people run together. You go, oh, okay, you know, as a resident who may not be boots on the ground in the same way as, you know, your traditional activist, they go, well, I like that young man. He came and he knocked on my door. So what he's saying must be legitimate. This website must be true. This page must be real, right? And so not only do you get the fear and the narrative from folks looking on to cities like Oakland, Philly, Detroit, so on and so forth, but then you get the same internalized fear from folks within the city residents. And then you get a voting population who is ill-informed, who's whipped up emotionally, and who has a figurehead to attach those emotions to that validates those emotions. It's a crazy, crazy thing. And so, you know, what you find is like, you know, you've got this counterintelligence operation happening, and then we as a populace have to continue to be informed and have a counterintelligence campaign happening, and it's nonstop. It has to be continual.
And so with that being said, people like yourself, Ryan Nicole, you have taken it up on yourself and people that you roll with to do something about it. One thing we were joking about, you know, the Oakland grit, you know, the hustle mentality that exists here. You didn't wait for the cavalry, as they said. You are the cavalry.
We got to be.
You picked up a camera and said, we'll do a film. Right. But then you also recently made a lot of headlines by doing a play,
which
is also your forte, to put a different shine on Oakland. Let's talk a little bit about it, because everywhere you went, that play was sold out. It was damn, can we get in? It sold out. Can we get in?
Like,
it went on and
sorry
on.
About
so
that.
Co-founders, what was that about? And will you be doing it again? Hmm.
Co-founders of musical started where Haven Project ended. Started 8 years ago. I co-wrote this with my co-writers and co-producers, Bo Lewis and Adisha Adefala. Adisha is a Oakland resident, Oakland native as well. Bo Lewis is a Stanford alum. He came from Seattle to Stanford. He's a tech native. But, you know, has a heart for hip hop and had a curiosity about Oakland. And, you know, you mentioned this before. I've lived in Oakland my entire life. I'm a third generation Oaklander. I know enough to know about curious white folks, to be fair, you know, who come into Oakland well-heeled, you know, with well intentions, you know, who they align themselves and how they tell our story. And so I found it imperative that I, you know, I knew he had the capacity to tell a story and tell some version of Oakland's story, and would have the capacity again to get a bunch of people to pay attention to it. I knew it wouldn't necessarily be true if I didn't involve myself. And so I involved myself, and, you know, he started this mission 8 years ago. As a story about two white guys who came into the Bay Area, came into Silicon Valley, you know, seeking the current gold rush, which was the tech boom, and seeking to build their entrepreneurial dreams and journeys here in the Bay Area. And with myself joining and Adisha joining, the story transitioned to be about a protagonist, you know, be about a story that was truer to home, which was The lead character being a woman named Asada Thompson. It's fictitious, but Asada Thompson, who is a basement coder, you know, who created programs and systems in her basement under the tutelage of her father, who learned how to program systems through the U.S. Navy. He was a naval ship captain. And he taught his daughter everything he learned and everything he knew and gleaned from building systems in the military, which, you know, for us was plucked, for me was plucked out of, you know, what I learned about the Panthers, both, you know, in research, but also lived experiences. You know, I had a uncle who was a military vet who brought every piece of knowledge that he knew home to, you know, his Panther brothers, and, you know, learned how to militarize and organize his people. Right. And so similarly, you know, she had a father who did the same for her, and she took that and ran with it, and attempts to enter into a accelerator, an incubator in Silicon Valley, and not just any, the most popular one, which for us was modeled after Y Combinator, which is the most popular incubator in Silicon Valley and the world over, frankly. It created companies like Airbnb and Coinbase, and, you know, which were entities that started as ideas, you know, with little to no funding, entered into the accelerator and became, you know, multi-million dollar valued companies at their onset. And now we know them to be billion dollar organizations, right, and operations, right? And like the definitive operations. There was no such thing as renting out your home, you know, to travelers until Airbnb hit the floor. So, you know, Our protagonist tries to enter into one of those, does not get in, and ends up hacking her way in, and has to partner with a well-heeled salesman out of the East Coast by the name of Conway DeLouche, a white guy. And, you know, the racial tensions, the gender tensions, the socioeconomic tensions, the knowledge tensions create a very ripe story to address some of the things that we're talking about here. You know, we talk about gentrification because he comes from the East Coast. She's from West Oakland, Filbert Street, to be exact. And, you know, she's like, you know, the things that he's looking onto with such bright eyes. She's like, listen, here's the real situation. You know, her home is under threat by a co-op startup called Colove. And she has to try to make some money immediately. So her drive and her thrust is different than his, even though his is also, to him, feels extremely urgent as well.
Right.
You know, but hers has a different kind of urgency. So.
And so it's a David and Goliath type of story.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. Very much so.
So what part did you play?
So I played her streetwise hustling cousin, Kamaya, who is kind of a Svengali and you know, a Jiminy Cricket of sorts. You know, she's on her cousin's shoulder telling her, hey, this is how you navigate this system. This is how you navigate this situation. Because Asada hacks her way in in a moment of passion. And then the minute she gets accepted, she kind of is scared and is like, yo, I can't go into this. I can't do it. And her cousin tells her, listen, you know, your house is on the line. You know, her cousin has to live in Antioch because her house got taken, you know. She's like, right, hey, you know, this is how you make it happen for not just you, but for your whole community. So I play that character.
Look at you, Ryan Nicole, you know. So this definitely... not only has this play been praised, but Mayor Barbara Lee has been like, we are bringing it to Oakland because it was in San Francisco.
Yes.
So any idea when that's happening?
Well, listen, we're working like mad to make it happen as soon as possible. You know, the reality is we probably won't see it until 2026, but I think that's
No.
We're going to do our best. We're going to do our best to get it here as soon as possible. But, you know, schedules and calendars and finances being what they are, you know,
okay,
We're gonna do our best, fam. We're doing our best. But
let me ask you this. I'm gonna toss some names out.
Yes.
Since we're talking Oakland. Shanaka Hodge.
Yes, my good sister.
You know, Ryan Coogler.
Yes, my good brother.
Boots
yes.
Riley.
Yes, sir, my other good brother.
Cat Brooks.
Yes, my good sister. Yes.
And I can go on, but you I'm just gonna stop on. With that.
Yeah.
Y'all have been making some waves. Every time I talk to Kat, it's like, oh, I got a play. And
right.
I heard about that play, or I seen that play. No, I got another play. And I'm like, what? Another play? So she stays busy on
yes,
the play
she
tip.
Does.
Think you and her kind of battling, like, who can do the most projects?
Who can,
in fact, you're trying to dethrone Paul Robeson and have it become a Ryan Cole, you know. Paul Robeson.
You so hip-hop. You like everything's a battle, man.
But I'm just looking at the cadre of people that we just named, and
yes,
have you all ever sat in a room and said, let's do something together, like you and Shanaka, you
Me
know?
And Nock talk all the time. Nock and I talk all the time. You know, I think in the stars for us is a hope to work together. We've definitely tried to work together on the hip hop tip. You know, schedules are crazy, and you know, it's not just like career schedules. We're both mothers, you know. We're both partners to very dynamic men, and so both, and then we're dynamic in and of ourselves, so we're attempting to work together, and I do believe it's in the cards at some point in the future. But you know, if anybody has seen the Ironheart series, it's really uncanny. She and I have talked during this time, but neither one of us intentionally shared the nature of our projects. Like, we didn't talk about it at all.
Really?
At all. At all. We both, you know, she was under NDA, and I have been, you know, just kind of quietly trying to keep everything under wraps with our story as well.
And both of you hit home runs.
We both wrote a story about a Black girl technologist, you know, who is building the future for her community. And I was like, it could only happen out of Oakland, that, you know, the lead writers of these shows would be writing about stories that feel very close to home. You know, right. Riri Williams is out of Chicago, but she felt like a town chick. And, you know, right. It kind of speaks to what you were talking about earlier. You know, we know what the narrative is in those spaces, you know, amongst Black and brown havens. Right. And so we know what the counter narrative needs to be.
So the other name I would have put in is David Diggs, but you already did stuff with him.
Yeah,
you
know, David Diggs. David and I, yeah, we, you know, and we're not done either. But we wanted to put up a story, you know, during one of the more popular nights in basketball, you know, Christmas night. We wanted to make sure that we put up a story in that fun little thing about a Black family just having a good time eating Christmas dinner and watching right. basketball and talking mess to each other, which is something that, you know, I think many of us are familiar with.
So you did 24 commercials for that?
We did. God, how many commercials did we do? Oh, God. We did.
Because
you
did them for each team.
We did it. No, we did it for each game. There were six games.
Oh, there were six games. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I thought you did them for all the basketball teams, you know.
We did it for all the basketball teams that were playing on Christmas Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Ryan's presence seems to be looming, you know.
Yes, yes.
Have you all sat down and talked?
Coogler and I have danced at a party together. Our kids have gone to school together. We have rubbed shoulders. We've talked about stuff, but we've never talked business. You know, it's funny. I'm a nervous kind of girl. You know, the thing about the town is we're also, I think, a little bit suspicious about other folks trying to siphon our energy once we make it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm right. not saying Coogler is that way, but I'm definitely careful not to feel like I'm jockeying.
You don't want to be that person.
I don't want to be that. Yeah. I want to be able to bring something to him that feels, you know, like it is a value and it's meeting a need that he has. And so I've never been like, hey, can, you know, hey, brother, I got this thing, you know,
right.
let's work together.
You can't be acting brand new.
I cannot.
What about Boots and Cat?
Boots and cats. That's funny. That's the beatbox line. Boots and cats and boots and cats. That's how you learn to beatbox, kids.
Yeah.
You know, Kat and I talk and work together. We've been in many of a quiet room strategizing. You know, I think what we're doing collectively, and Boots similarly, I think what we're doing collectively, and we recognize this, is we're building a web of stories and narratives to affect the culture. And right. We're affecting them at different levels. And I think that's important because, you know, I'm one of the main people that you're going to hear beating the drum for culture. You know, Fabiana Rodriguez taught me a while ago about, she did this brilliant study about culture moving the needle. And I'm a wholehearted card-toting member of that narrative, in that I believe that if you can get the hearts of the people, and I've walked this walk in my career for 20, 25 years now, if you could get the hearts of the people, you can shift the way that they vote, you could shift the way that they spend, you could shift the way that they raise their children. You know, I think, and I talked to my aunt who was a Panther. You know, the thing that she found most attractive and that caught her attention about the Black Panthers wasn't their political narrative first. She didn't even hear them first. She saw them first, right?
Right.
And she saw, wow, they all dressed alike. Their hair is fresh. That's a cultural appeal. You know, yeah. And then she went to the meeting and she's like, oh, and they talk about something? Okay, I'm with it.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, what I find attractive about this time, and I'm going to toss Donald Lacey's name in there too. And
yes.
There's a bunch of other folks that we could add.
Yes.
Is that all you folks have a politic, and I keep thinking about the Black Arts Movement and
yes.
the intentionality around it to align itself with the Black freedom struggle, the Black power movements that were going on. Yes. And I'm seeing you guys that have this, you know, this political acumen and activist streak, if you will, also doing these incredibly successful projects. And it's one after the other, you know, it's like boom, 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 boom. And it's like, you just feel like something's cooking and you're just like, you know, wondering when, you know, when's the full meal?
Where's,
you know,
the Voltron moment? Huh?
With the Voltron moment. But anyway, that's just me wishfully thinking.
I think, and continue to wishfully think, but I also think it's imperative because we do have political acumen. We know not to centralize the movement anymore.
Right.
You know, you got to kind of be as separate as you can be while being, you got to be double-minded in a lot of ways. You know, you have to know that we are doing the same thing and kind of give each other a nod across the aisle, but let the brother and the sister work independently, you know, so that nobody can knock us down in our entirety.
Man, and I should also add, when you say independently, meaning like all y'all have camps and teams that you roll with.
Right.
So it's, you know, like you're a businessman, you're a businessman.
That's right.
In your case, a businesswoman, a businesswoman.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
So it's not just you, but it's a whole team.
That's right.
And that's good. And we should definitely be to support. So with all that being said, you know, the other thing that we should know about Ryan Nicole is you are Grammy nominated with a team of people.
Yes,
Alphabet
sir.
Rockers.
Alphabet Rockers, yes.
So y'all have been doing your thing on that. You have this album. We played one of the songs off at Thieves Night. I hope I got the title right.
Thieves Thing?
Thieves Thing, thank you.
Oh, which one? Yeah, which one?
But I've been on you for the past, what, 50 years to do an album?
Yes, you have. Listen.
Because I'd be seeing you sing. And then I've seen you rap, and I'm like, yo, when are you going to do this album?
Yes.
Oh, brother, you know, I'm doing this project, but as soon as I'm done, you know, I'm going to do this. And then it's like, I got to take care of these kids, and me and my husband's going out here. And it's like, damn, can you, like, do an album?
Can you do an album? Yes.
So you gave us, like, six songs.
It's not six. Is it six? Nah. I gave you, like, eight, maybe.
One, okay, it's eight, but you know, I mean, I'm looking for Tupac type thing. 24.
I know you're looking for the double album. It's coming. It'll be here. But you know, I gotta leave the people wanting more. Some people don't know nothing about me, and they don't care. You know that I'm the Bay's J Electronica. You know I'm Bay Electronica. Right. You know that I release here and there. So I'm new to a lot of people, and so I gotta kind of give them a sampler plate. And that's what that is. It's not entirely strategic. I had 30 days of, you know, relative freedom. I knew I was leading up to rehearsals of the show of co-founders, and I had a little window, and I was like, all right, here's the moment. I was recording the EP of co-founders, and after that wrapped, I had a moment, and I was still in the studio with Mike Denton, Infinite Studios, Mike Denton and Anthony Perez, shout out to them. And I said, hey guys, while I got you, let's record this Ryan Nicole project. And they're like, let's roll. So I had 30 days to make it happen. And so that's what you got. You got 30 days of output right there, of writing, recording, and mixing and mastering and releasing the project. So that's what you got.
30 days. The album.
Yeah.
Yours truly. And you really kind of did more like a reflective thing than like, you know, like more than a fight to power type thing.
Right. Because I think, you know, before I tell people, hey, come on, let's get to marching, I think you should know me. You know, you should know who I am. You should know what my values are, what I believe in, what I love, you know, what annoys me, what gets under my skin, those kinds of things, I think is important. You got to go personal before you go political. And so this was personal. Right. And, you know, and then you'll know from where I spring. And you can trust me or not, but you'll know where my values derive.
If there's a song off this album that people should listen to, and by the way, it's titled Yours Truly.
Yeah.
What song would you say, like, yeah, you listen to that, then you kind of getting in the ballpark of who Ryan Nicole is?
Well, I think the deepest, darkest track is Yours Truly. You know, it is the Ryan behind the pages, you know, in the room by herself. You know, really speaking to my diary, that piece is about, it's about depression and suicide awareness, to be honest. And I hate to be so morose, so, you know, with such a bright conversation that we're having, but,
morose. Let me look that up. She came with this SAT word out of nowhere. Morose.
I hate to be so sad, you know, in this moment. but, you know, I personally lost two people during the pandemic to suicide. And in that same season, you know, I found that there were other people struggling with suicidal ideation or you know, folks whose people that I love, their people taking their lives. And, wow. You know, yeah, it's devastating. And I know this to be true. I know that this is something that we, the Black folks, the Black community deals with, but I felt like we had an explosion of it in the recent past. And, you know, when I was coming up, when I was growing up, that was something, and I'm putting this in air quotes, something we just didn't do. You know, that was an old right. wives' tale. Well, we don't do that. We don't do that. Well, you know, Black people are not, we're not immune from this depression, and we're not immune from suicidal ideation, and clearly we're not immune from taking our own lives. And frankly, we've been taking our own lives in many different ways. We just hadn't called it suicide before. Right. You know.
And, yeah, we called it being fatalistic.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
And being reckless.
Reckless. That boy out there doing this. You know, that girl out there doing this. Yeah. Well, she's probably dealing with some depression. She's probably. This is. You know, we had long COVID. We got long suicide too.
Yeah. As you were talking, I'm just remembering with Tupac said, "I don't see myself living past 25."
That exactly.
And you know, he didn't kill himself.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But you wonder when you have that sort of thought.
Right.
You know, if that's the flip side of that, like, yeah, because he literally said, I don't have that much time.
Exactly.
I got to do as much as I can.
Exactly.
So it's like you know.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's in the same ballpark. It's the other side of the coin.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely on the spectrum. Right. And so, yeah, you know, I had to write this song just to help demystify, you know, just to add to the conversation and demystify this notion that we don't think like this. We don't have these deep, dark thoughts. And, you know, to help people who are feeling this way, who are having these thoughts, recognize, like, you know, there are ups and downs in life, and we all go through them. And you know, people see folks like me, they see our social media and they see, oh, she's got a husband and her family and she seems to be enjoying life and all of that. No, things get dark. Even with all of that, things get dark.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hopefully people listening to you, listening to the album, will find inspiration, know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
It's okay to, you know, have these range of emotions.
That's right.
You don't have to be a superwoman, you know, or superman. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's also should be inspired that you shouldn't be sitting on your butt all day. So
that's real.
So I'm going to sit up there and see Ryan. I'm like, damn, let me put down this donut that I'm eating. You know, put down this hot Cheetos, you know, and, you know, walk up to the woman that owns these high school track records.
Come on now.
Because I'm trying to, you know, not look bad in front of all this.
Stop. Well, you know, it all is connected for me. You know, if I'm not moving, I can get sad. I can get, you know, so I gotta keep my body going. I gotta keep working out. It's all part of the same the same recipe for me.
Right, real talk. Yeah. And you got a terrific family that keeps you supported.
They do, and they keep me busy, that's for sure.
We're gonna leave out of here with yours truly, Ryan Nicole. How do we get a hold of you?
You know, you guys can all hit me on socials. You can find me at MSRYANNICOLE. That's Miss Ryan Nicole. And you can Google that name, and I'm going to pop up. My website will pop up. All the social profiles will pop up. And just hit me.
There you have it. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio.
Thanks, Davey.
We're out for now. Peace.
Write this stupid letter. Dear. To speak my mind, gotta overcome the fear. Convince myself this is stuff you even wanna hear. Get over the idea, no one really cares. Surrender to my purpose, reason why I'm really here. If this should reach an ear of a lady with some pills inside a hand, or a man, gun up to his head. After likes and spikes on TikTok, on Instagram, it's me and you right now, I hope you know I understand. Despite how it looks today, I've been down at the bottom of the sea, and see I'm nowhere to be found. Rocks inside my pocket, sitting on the ocean floor, contemplating choices. Should I swim or should I drown? I'm reaching out right now to lift up your chin, my friend, pull you out. Grab hold your hand and land on solid ground. You are not alone, no, you are not without no doubt. Sincerely, yours truly. Yours truly. We need you, we need you, we need you. Don't know how many times I say this, I repeat 2 million more phrases. If it reached you, entreat you to stay for your sons, cause they see you as a king and queen. I know you didn't think your man would be so broken in your wake. It's hard to see when you're so low beneath the waves. I know it's hard to breathe. I wish you would've looked up just for a second, just to see. It's just a sea, just a small bit of water. The same amount that broke when you brought forth your daughter. The same stuff you made of, the same tears that fall. I wish I would've heard your call. Sincerely, yours truly. And this is not a movie scene. We can't rewind the tape, you cannot take back what you did. You can't repair the shattered fragments of my heart. I can't believe you left me lonely like this. I'm sorry. I can't write that. Yours truly. If this letter gets to your address, know that I'm a total mess. I'll just keep doing my best without you, without you. And I will never be the same. Every time I hear your name,
I'll be hollowed out with pain forever, forever.
Talk, don't stop. EMN, at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man. Chris, Juwan, Cam. Yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else, just imitation. Simulation, step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Need and Davey D. Yeah, right, feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though. Oakland, stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble, Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on, check out. Why every obvious think they hard knock when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat till they ready from the steel gray beef. Say, please, maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say, you beast and their lovers are neighbor with a please. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. Let's go. It ain't David G.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast. Dance
degrees, the rain falls hard. An old man sleeps, no roof, no guard. Under the freeway, lost in cold. Somebody's father left out alone. What mother could picture this sight? Her child forgotten, lost to the night. $1 billion homes lying the way, but for him there's no shelter, no place to stay. What happens to us when we fall from grace?
Fall from grace.
When the world turns its back.
Picasso,
what?
And Maya.
Who?
My last name is Susana. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
Tune in on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. for Winner's Bias, a new show exploring the culture around tabletop gaming.